Welcome to the podcast that is all about self-employment. We'll be sharing expertise on getting started, getting noticed, and getting it right, as well as dealing with getting it wrong. Your host, Julia Kermode, will help you get ahead so you get the success you deserve.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm really pleased to have with me someone who's going to share their story with us about setting up working for themselves last year during the pandemic. And I have with me Jessica Wicks, or sometimes Ross, depending on the day of the week that you ask her. And we will get into the surname issue, because that's quite a nice thing. But she's a freelance social media consultant and content producer. So welcome, Jess. Tell us a little. Well, tell us about your surname, because I mean, what an intro. People will want to know about that.
Yeah, so when I was setting up my business name, I thought, why not go with the name that I'm going to have when I get married, which was due to be this year. But obviously, it's been postponed because of COVID, as many people have, you know, had their lives turned upside down. Yeah. But essentially, it was just a way to make sure my fiance couldn't run away and jilt me at the altar. Really, just tie him down, you know, can't go anywhere now.
Exactly. Now, you see, I thought it was a romantic gesture, but yeah, if it's just to kind of make sure you keep him, why not do that? I mean, he'd be mad anyway. If your kind of self-employed business is taking off, which, you know, we're going to talk about, then obviously he'll want to stick with you for the journey anyway. So yeah, start off, if you don't mind, by telling us a bit about your background. So I've obviously done a bit of research about you, but our listeners won't know who you are at all. So tell us about your background.
Yeah, sure. So I spent many, many years in retail, then transitioned to marketing. And my first sort of furor into that was with Lush Cosmetics. So I spent a number of years with them on their brand team. And obviously, it's quite a large team. So I got to the point where I feel like I'd done pretty much every job in the brand team. I worked my way around through social media and copywriting and graphic design. So then I thought, right, I want to do this myself. I want to have a bit of a project and a baby that I can look after. Yeah. And I fell into recruitment marketing, which was never an industry I'd considered. Yeah. I thought that the job advert was, you know, they were hiring for a client. But when I got in touch, they said, no, it's actually for us. Wow. So I spent 3 years with them, and yeah, it obviously I was with them up until last year, when obviously COVID ruined everything for everyone.
So yeah, can you tell us what happened then when the pandemic hit last year? Because obviously that affected a lot of us, and I know the world of recruitment was also badly hit. So what happened to you?
Yeah, so I think, like so many industries, recruitment sort of fell off a cliff. You would normally look for jobs, and there would be page after page after page of listings for you to look at, and that dropped to like one page of jobs. You know, everyone shut down. So unfortunately, I was furloughed from my role, and my managers were great in that I asked them if I could freelance on the side while I was furloughed, just to top up that 20% that was missing, and they said, yeah, go for it. They said that was fine. So I set up a website, sort of launched my business back in May 2020, and a lot of it was mainly my recruitment connections, network that I'd built up, and I think a lot of people were in the position where everyone wanted to help everyone else out, so it was very much favors, friends of friends, things like that. It was quite minimal. And then unfortunately, in July of last year, I was made pandundant. So had a pandundancy, that's what everyone's calling it. It was about as amicable as it can be, you know. It's one of those situations where the whole planet are doing that. I was actually really lucky to pick up another job within 3 days. And I went to work for an agency as their own marketing manager and content producer. And from day one, when I walked in, I absolutely hated it. It was a very, very different environment to what I'd been used to. The culture was really toxic. The people were not nice. Some of the people, the management weren't very nice. So I made a decision really, really quickly that I didn't want to work for anyone else anymore. I wanted to work for myself. So for 2 months, I essentially kind of worked two full-time jobs, you know, working at this agency whilst also trying to build my business up. Because like so many people who decide to go self-employed, that decision of, I need to be earning enough from my clients on the side before I can leave because I don't want to have any bills, but also it's only so many hours in the day. So it was a very rough 2 months. But then at the beginning of October, I reached a point where I got a new client on board and went, right, this is the moment, handed in my notice. And that was the official full-time birth of Jessica Ross as a brand and a company. And it's kind of just gone from strength to strength, which I don't really understand how it's happened.
Fantastic. Well, it's brilliant to be bringing a good news story actually out of the pandemic. And by the way, I'd not heard of pandundancy before, but I'm sure that is exactly what everyone's talking about. So, in terms of kind of getting going then, so you were doing this classic thing of juggling a full-time job whilst getting set up. So how did you manage that? Where did you even start?
My God. I mean, I'd love to say that there wasn't a copious amount of wine involved, but there definitely was. Not that I'm advocating for that, but I think that one of the really, really important things for me was that my partner was totally on board with it all. And he was the one that gave me the push to go full-time self-employed anyway.
I was
definitely suffering from imposter syndrome. I think like so many people who were furloughed or made redundant, you start questioning, well, was it, you know, even though there's a pandemic, you're thinking, well, was it because I wasn't good enough? Was it because I wasn't better than that person who didn't get made redundant? And all these different things go through your head. So you really do start doubting yourself. So for me, I'd definitely say, make sure you've built a really great support network around you, people who are going to push you to do better, but also people you can call on. I had so many people from my work in different industries previously who I could literally pick up the phone to and ask them a question and say, what on earth do I do with this contract? Or this client hasn't paid me. What on earth do I do? And I had people who talked me through the whole process. I mean, I had a situation really early on where after 4 weeks of working with a client, they turned around and said, well, you haven't made us famous, so we're not going to carry on working with you. And it was ridiculous because obviously who's going to be made famous in four weeks? Kardashian didn't do that. I knew because they had a contract and they'd breached, I knew I needed to go through the process of small claims court, but I had no idea what I was doing. So I picked up the phone to someone who had worked in business for many years, and they literally step by step walked me through what I needed to do. And it was brilliant. And in the end, I won the claim and the money came through. That was a real sense of achievement. And I'm in a way kind of glad that happened really early on, because I now know later down the line exactly what to do in those situations. So definitely own the mistakes or own what happens, all the things that go wrong at the beginning, which is many you know, things will go wrong. You'll do things, you'll be like, oh my God, why did I do that? You'll have a proper facepalm moment, but just try and learn from it if you can. I think that would be my biggest piece of advice.
That's fantastic, and it's good that you had still all those networks. And I think it just shows how important it is to always kind of leave different places on good terms if you can, and keep those networks going if you can, because you never know. And the other thing that you just said that really resonated is that, you know, you learn from it, and you will never kind of get everything right perfectly at the outset. And everyone who I speak to that's gone through the journey of setting up by themselves has had some issues along the way. It seems kind of inevitable, but the thing is, other people have had those same issues. And so, you know, you were able to call on people within your networks. If people don't necessarily think that anyone they know has had that experience, then there must be quite a bit of help online and other places as well. So,
oh, absolutely loads. So if you don't have that kind of support network, maybe of people who don't understand or haven't been in business, you know, maybe they're like my partner, just moral support cheering you on. If you're looking for that real kind of business advice, Crunch is an amazing resource. It's got so much stuff for people, you know, if you're starting going sole trader or limited company or whatever. And although they're an accountancy-based service, they have information on everything, you know, personal branding, social media, sales, business plans, all of that. I definitely just go and type in on Google, like a specific thing you want advice on, and it will come back with an answer. But there's also loads of Facebook groups you can join. Clubhouse, if you're not on Clubhouse, amazing resource. I literally yesterday I created a room. I named it interim business / operations managers, where are you at? And the room just started flooding with people who are like, I've got someone, I can send you their details, I know someone who knows someone, I'll put them in touch with you. And with half an hour I had like six different contacts of people who could help me with my business. Wow. So I think that's the thing. Don't be afraid to just sort of put your head above the parapet and just ask complete strangers for help.
Yes.
People are more than willing to do it, especially right now.
Yeah. And, you know, in setting up this podcast, I've approached people kind of cold who I didn't know. So you were one of them. And actually, people are so receptive to kind of just helping support each other at the moment. And I think that's probably like the only good thing that's come out of the pandemic, really. So anyway, in terms of getting started, then you mentioned kind of your partner a couple of times, that kind of that kind of support and cheering you on. I mean, that massively important, isn't it? I think so anyway, in terms of giving you that confidence and having, you know, you said anyone being made redundant, and I think anyone who has been made redundant feels the same. It's a knock to your confidence. It doesn't matter that it seems like loads of other people are being made redundant. It's about you, and you kind of need to get through that in a way, don't you?
Yeah, and do you know what? Like, I'll give you a really perfect example of probably what sums up how everyone's feeling. At one of my meetings during the redundancy process, one of the founders of the business said to me, you know, we've gone from, I can't remember the exact figures, but for example, he said, we've gone from 30 million turnover to like 10 million turnover in the space of, you know, 6 months. And I actually sat there and I said, no offense, but I don't care that you've only you're only making 10 million pounds. I'm sat here right now thinking, I'm going to lose my house. Yeah. How am I going to pay my wedding? We can't pay our bills. We're going to lose everything. That was what was going through my head. So for him to sit there and say, and to be fair, when I said that to him, he kind of was like, sorry, like held his hands up.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing. And this is why I always think about when I see people on LinkedIn, there's a difference between doing a humble brag, which, you know, is like rags to riches. I used to wash my dad's car and now I own a Ferrari, which we've seen those posts and we hate them. Mm-hmm. And genuine people who've actually come through adversity to be successful out the other side. Mm. And it, sometimes people forget it isn't just about business. It's also about the personal as well.
Yeah.
And so many people this year, I think, have really connected with their empathetic side, and people are really understanding that people are humans and they're not just there in numbers or sales figures. And, you know, obviously my wedding has been cancelled. No bride wants to have to cancel her wedding. That was devastating.
I know.
It was a really, really difficult time for me and my partner to do that. And making that decision whilst juggling a business, it's hard because your mind's elsewhere. But I think, you know, when we talk about the personal, I mean, something I've shared with people quite recently, I've always struggled with alopecia. And in the last 12 months, just due to the stress of everything, it's got so bad that I now wear wigs full time. And I was really upset about that at the beginning. As the months have gone on, now I like completely own it. And every time I wear a different one, I'm like, well, today I'm like Angelina Jolie and tomorrow I'm, you know, Nicki Minaj. And I just try and channel that energy and make it a positive. And that helps my business massively, because if I just stayed sad about it, my business wouldn't be where it is right now, which is going to go through massive changes a month or two.
Yeah. Do you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure this will make the edit either. I'm completely sideswiped by you saying about alopecia, because I've suffered from it, and it's devastating. You taking control of it and wearing wigs is fantastic. And people don't understand the impact of it on women.
I think it's important to share the personal stories as well, because it's what makes us human, and it's what makes us individuals, and it's the thing about us that defines us. And it overcoming those personal trials as well as business trials, it defines who you are as a business person as well, I think, and how you can overcome those challenges and own them. And the amount of support I've had from people as well, it's just been fantastic. And I think just generally wig wearing has become a little bit more normalized now. You see a lot of the reality stars and the Geordie Shores, they just wear wigs because they want to, and it's fun. And you see all the Little Mix girls changing up their hair, and that's all wigs. And I think it has become normalized a little bit more. But obviously, for when you've got alopecia, you know, certainly at the very beginning, I wanted people to think this was my normal hair. I didn't want to think I was wearing a wig. But I've got to the point now where I'm like, do you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to wear a unicorn wig. It's like mermaid colors. It's like, it's basically a costume wig. But I've got to the point where I'm like, do you know what? I don't care. And I don't know if that's an age thing, or I don't know if I've just reached a point where I've gone through so much, as so many others have this year. Mm-hmm. And especially now with my business, I'm like, do you know what? I don't have time to worry about what other people think about whether or not I'm wearing a wig.
I know. And you kind of can get a real mental block about this stuff. And then if you can somehow persuade yourself to move on and kind of deal with it, because I mean, who cares if you're wearing a wig or not? It doesn't affect what you do, how you do it. It doesn't change your personality. It doesn't change so much about your life. The only issue is kind of either with yourself or other people's reactions. But who cares if people don't like it? They're not the sort of people you want to spend time with, surely.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, I would say if anyone's listening and they are going through a similar journey, do feel free to reach out to me, because I'm more than happy to speak to people about it. And if they're worrying or they're lacking a bit of confidence about starting to wear wigs, I realise we've gone a bit off topic, but if anyone does want to reach out, I'm more than happy to chat with people about it.
Brilliant. I think that's fantastic. And we have gone off topic, but it just shows how, I mean, I am going to keep this in the final edit podcast, because it just shows how important it is and how we're all kind of made up of different things, and people don't talk about stuff. And actually, you know, it's important, I think, to kind of, to move on and just go for it. And that's what today's episode's all about. And just in terms of kind of going for it, now you work with social media and that side of things. I would have thought that your business would perhaps not be as busy as it is because of the pandemic and that. I guess now coming out the other side, I would expect things to be picking up. But how has it gone? Have you found people receptive to it? Well, you must have, because you're successful.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's something I've realised since going full-time self-employed is that actually recessions are quite good for people in my position.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you think about marketing as a very specific industry, marketing teams are always the first to go in a crisis. So a lot of the time it's very hard for marketing teams to prove return on investment compared to, for example, sales teams, where they can quantify what they're doing with numbers. It's not always that easy with marketing, and they're just seen as an overhead. So that's why they're always the first to be made redundant whenever anything goes to pot. So what that's meant for me is that there's thousands of businesses who have gaps that they know their strategy, they know what they need to do, they just need someone to come in and execute it. They don't want someone full time, they just want someone for maybe a day a month to come in and just work with them, just to keep things going. Because obviously all of these brands eventually will have plans to bring teams back in. That may be in 6 months or it might be in 3 years, no one knows. But they know that if it just falls off a cliff and people go to their social media channels and there's nothing there, people will think they've gone out of business.
Yeah.
And it's really important that those messages keep ticking over to ensure that there's that brand continuity, and nothing falls by the wayside, essentially. But I think as well, companies are really keen at the moment to maybe change up their brand positioning a little bit. A lot of businesses have used this as an opportunity to, I hate the word, but pivot. They've used this as an opportunity to pivot their businesses. So some businesses have moved completely remote or all virtual or whatever they were doing. They changed their offering or they've changed their services, and they need someone to help them communicate that out to the masses that now what they do is slightly different. But yeah, I think the nice thing is I've built up really, really amazing relationships with clients in the last sort of 6 to 12 months. Mm. And I think it is specifically for a freelancer, it is about building up almost a little black book of contacts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that, you know, in 12 months time, if the economy starts picking up and there's not as much of a need for me, I've got people that I could reach out to say, do you need anything? I'm here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're completely spot on. We did an episode, I think 2 episodes ago, where we were talking about having a client pipeline and how to ensure you've always got that. And what you've described is pretty textbook for freelancers. You absolutely want to have that network. And that's what you said right at the beginning. And it's really important. In terms of kind of getting set up, what things went well? I mean, I like, you know, I guess you set up a company at company's house and, you know, got your finances in place and all of that kind of really boring stuff. Was any of that kind of more challenging than you expected? I mean, what went well and less well for you?
It's really funny you say that, because I actually didn't get around to doing any of that until January this year.
Brilliant. You're too busy getting on with it. I love it.
I think that's the thing. Obviously, when I first left my full-time job, I think it's a little bit swan-like, where on the surface you're trying to project this really calm, I've launched a business attitude, but underneath you're like, I'm one client away from not being able to pay my bills if one client stops, and you were sort of living hand to mouth and you were constantly trying to build up business. Obviously I'm not at that stage now, it's fantastic, and I can relax a lot more. But I didn't register myself as a sole trader until January. I didn't realize I needed a number to set up all my tax for my self-assessment.
Okay.
I think this is the thing. People assume that if you've gone self-employed, you must know about scaling a business and building a business. I know about marketing and copywriting and social media. I've never worked in finance or HR or I think people automatically assume you should know about those things. And of course I've done loads of research, but this is what my suggestion would be: just outsource everything that you can't do. So I really quickly in January, I got myself an accountant.
Brilliant.
Just sort of said, here you go, take everything. What do you need from me? Yeah. You take care of it at all. So that's definitely something I'd say. And also, because just tracking all your invoices and everything coming through, look at software that helps automate those processes. Again, I didn't thought any of that till January. I'd actually planned to do all that admin at the very beginning of January. And then January of 2021 turned out to be my busiest month.
Wow.
So it ended up happening kind of end of January. Well, this is it. It's champagne problems, right? So when we're going through these issues, they're lovely luxury problems to have. And especially at the moment where so many people are out of work and businesses are folding, to be in that position is lovely. But then this is the difference between when you're running a business and being the business. You essentially, and this is what people don't think about when people think about going self-employed or being freelance, they think we just sit around and don't really do anything. We can choose to just work 3 hours a week. And
that you just is drink coffee, better. Right? Isn't that it?
Coffee or wine or whatever. That is not the case at all. You have to run your business and all the admin and all the scaling and all the growth and all the marketing and everything else that a business would normally do, whilst also still doing the actual work of your job. So it is twice as hard. So for anyone thinking I'm just going to become a freelancer because it's super easy, that's not the case. But what I would say in terms of the positives, it definitely does give you your life work balance back. And I say it that way round for a very specific reason, in that it does give you flexibility. All my jobs I had previously, there was a lot of mistrust about working from home, and you know, it wasn't really the done thing, like so many businesses, although that's all changed now. And for me, the flexibility to just, you know, be able to book a doctor's appointment when I need to, Or actually, if it is a sunny day, just take an hour out and go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, not don't have to have a set lunch or whatever. Or actually, if I want to get up and do an hour of exercise in the morning, I can do that. I don't have to get up at 5 a.m. and do it all before I've got to commute to work.
Yeah.
So you definitely do have that flexibility for a life-work balance. But people just have to make sure that they understand both sides of the coin, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. And I saw something this morning, actually, that was saying, why don't we all work on the theory of 3/8? So it's 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, and 8 hours of life. And I just thought, yeah, that's really good in theory. But for anyone that's commute or looking to go back to commuting to work, I mean, they could spend 2 hours a day commuting, and then if they're then putting in a normal day's work, and so it goes on. So this whole home-basedness and working for yourself is really really important for our mental health, I think, or it can be.
Yeah, for sure. And I saw that even today the government are looking at making changes around flexible working agreements and making it much, much easier for people to, you know, if you're not necessarily thinking about freelance but just in a job, actually do with that. You've just got to make sure you clue yourself up on everything. And I think on the mental health side of things, if you're like me and you're quite happy to just sort of motivate yourself, then that's great. It doesn't matter so much being at home. If you're someone who really needs to get your energy from being around other people, there are loads of groups and like Zoom groups and Clubhouse rooms where they're just co-working, they're virtual co-working spaces.
Yeah.
So you've got a Zoom group call in the background on your laptop, or you've got them on Clubhouse, and they're just kind of there. They're not necessarily there having conversations. They are there if you needed to bounce off someone or ask a question, but it just helps keep you accountable as well, because you almost have got that feeling that, you know, people are there, and if you just decide to go off and sit and watch This Morning for 3 hours, they're gonna see it. So yeah, I think that there's definitely ways that people can help improve their mental health if they are struggling making that transition from being around lots of people to suddenly being at home on their own. There's loads of things you can do for sure.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And if we are ever allowed out again, which I'm sure we will be, then there's obviously co-working places and cafes and things like that, depending on where you live. But yeah, I wasn't aware that you could just go into a Zoom or a Clubhouse room and just have general kind of office people. I really like that. I think that sounds really neat. So I'm going to have a look at that once we finish chatting. But I know, on the subject of mental health, I know some of the stuff you were doing last year was some work for charities. I've no idea if it was any mental health charities, by the way, but I just did want to touch on that because, well, firstly, I have no idea how you fitted it in. But secondly, it's just a really nice aspect to your kind of story. So tell us a little bit about that, if you can.
Yeah, so when I first started, because I was just doing it on the side while I was furloughed, and I think like so many people, you spend 2 weeks watching Netflix, and then after that, you're kind of a bit of a loss on what to do, because there's only so many days you can take, you know, thinking you're on holiday. I was really keen to support some local charities. And that's what I did. I just sort of put out the call. And I was featuring the local press and just put out a call to say, look, if any charities want support right now with their social media, get in touch, because they'd love to help you. So that's what I did. And I supported them for a number of months and just got them to a point where obviously they were having a lot of people either go off or everything was being closed down. So to be able to give them that support felt really rewarding for me. One of the things that I have done really recently is my bread and butter is copywriting. It's the main sort of service that I offer people. And I actually wrote an article for Dorset Mind. It's something that I talked to people about before, but I talked to them about my eating disorder journey, and it was Eating Disorder Awareness Week at the beginning of March. So I wanted to contribute a story for them, and they rely on other people writing these stories for them, you know, especially at the moment because teams are thin on the ground. So again, it's just about being able to dedicate time to other people for free, not expecting anything in return.
Yes.
And I think there's always an expectation as a business when you reach a certain point that you do have to do that. Yeah. And I've never been the kind of person that just wanted to write a check and slap my logo on something and say, you know,
that's yours.
Give myself a pat on the back and say, you know, job well done. You sponsored X and, you know, they got nothing out of it and you got nothing out of it. And it doesn't.
That box ticked, that corporate social responsibility. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's a box ticking exercise. And for me, I just wanted it to be much more authentic. I wanted to choose charities that were close to my heart, but also just charities that I felt I actually could really offer them some value and not just waffle at them for no reason.
I really like that. And I imagine as your business kind of grows, I would anticipate just from talking to you that you will keep doing that sort of thing. And it's such a really nice way to start off in business when you're setting up. And I'm not telling our listeners they must give X amount of hours per week to charity. I just think that while you are getting started, it might be something you might want to look at, I guess, to get your name out there as well, perhaps. I don't know if that was part of it. It doesn't sound like that was part of your motivation, to be fair.
No, not at all. Not on the charity side of things. But it is definitely, you know, offering to do work for people without being paid is definitely a great way to start off when you have absolutely zero clients. Yes. Because it, you know, what that then does is on your website, you know, you can ask them if you can put their logo on there and you can ask them for a testimonial. Testimonials are amazing in terms of social proof and being able to lend some authority, you know, as to this is the work you do and this was the value the client got out of it. They can see you're a real business. So find a couple of brands that you really like. And don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that you should try and find like the head of marketing at Coca-Cola, because they're not gonna get that to you.
It's good to aim high, but maybe not.
Yeah, fantastic if those are your aspirations, but maybe just start with some smaller businesses and just reach out to them. And especially if you can see maybe they're struggling, but they'll be even more keen to say, yes, we'd love to have some help. And just say, you know, be upfront with them from the beginning and say, look, I've just started out my business. I'm really looking to try and get some social proof back. I would love to offer you X service for however long. And all I'd ask in return is if I could use your logo on my website and have a little testimonial from you and a bit of feedback.
Yeah.
They're going to jump at the opportunity. Yeah. You know, they're going to bite your hand off for that.
Everyone's a winner with that as well, because then they're getting free marketing as well from your business. So yeah, it's a really, really good one. And the other thing that strikes me with talking to you about all this stuff is, you know, your own personal values, and that it seems to be really important to kind of how you set up your business. And I don't know whether you're in the luxurious position of picking and choosing who your clients are, and whether you are selective over who you work with. If you're not, you'll get there, I'm sure. But yeah, is your business formed around your personal values?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, don't get me wrong, at the very beginning I definitely did not have the luxury of choosing I worked with, and I had some absolute shockers. You know,
tell us just some shockers. We're obviously obviously keeping details private.
I couldn't possibly divulge, but I think, you know, you'll get clients who don't pay you. You'll get clients who I mean I had clients that were racist and homophobic. And this is the thing, you get to a point where, you know, you just turn around to them and say, this isn't working anymore.
Yeah.
Our values aren't aligned. And that's what I did. And I felt really proud that actually I could turn around and say, do you know what? We're not quite on the same page, and that's fine. Mm. But you need to find someone who's more aligned with what you feel. And I think that's the thing. It's not about, you know, being rude to them and telling them anything. It's just about being true to you. And I think, you know, certainly with my business, you've got kind of the business brand, but then you've also got me as a personal brand, and my name is my business. It's really important to me that people know who I am, because I'm the one doing the work. And, you know, as you probably found out, mental health is really important to me. And that's why, you know, if I get clients emailing me at 10 o'clock at night, I don't respond to that, because that's my time.
Yeah.
That's my time. And on the footer of my emails, it actually says, I'm sending this email because it's convenient for me. I don't expect you to respond outside of your own working hours.
Yeah.
That might be because I've chosen to get up at 5 a.m. and get a jump start so that I can finish early. Or it might be that I decided I needed half a day for life admin, so I'm going to work a bit later into the evening. And that's the thing. I'll send that email, but it makes it very clear I do not expect you to respond outside of your own, the time that you dedicate to work. So I don't expect that from my clients here either. And I think I've got an amazing relationship with my clients, and they really understand, you know, that ethos of actually, if you are a freelancer, you're, unless you've said to them, you know, this sort of set time and day is when I work for you, your time is yours. You use it in the most effective way that you think, you know. So it's just about communicating expectations to clients. That's the really important thing, and making sure that they understand where you're at and you understand what they need, so that there's never an issue of miscommunication in the middle.
Yeah, I love what you just said about your email kind of signature bit there. I think that's fantastic, because then, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes we get up and we might start work at 5 a.m. or be working at 10 o'clock at night, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the world is. So I think next time I do something at a funny time, I'm going to put that in, because I think that's really helpful, because, you know, it's my choice if I'm doing that. So, yeah, I love that. By the way, I meant to say, when you said about that client who said that you hadn't made them famous and therefore didn't pay, massively annoyed about that. That's ridiculous. I mean, I don't profess to know the world of PR and marketing and social media that well, but, you know, after a month, I mean, it's just bananas. So well done for tackling them.
I was massively annoyed as well. And I but you know what? I think, you know, possibly maybe I didn't communicate effectively at the beginning. I was just starting out. They were one of my first-ish clients. And I'd made it clear what I was there to provide. For me, it's about work delivered. Obviously, we review results. We, you know, then use those results to tailor next month's work. And of course, we're always reviewing things. But I can never sit there and go, if I do X, you're going to get X. I just can't do that. And I think maybe I didn't communicate effectively enough. But ultimately, when he said he wanted to end the contract, you know, I spoke to him and said, you know, let's sort this. Let's talk about it. Let's see how we can use, you know, the time effectively to make sure you're happy. But he still wanted out, and that was his choice. That's you know, everyone has that choice. But he had to take the consequences of breaching his contract and was ordered to pay the money. So, you know, it's, I didn't take it as like a, yes, you know, I beat him sort of thing. It wasn't that. Someone just starting out who just signed a 6-month contract with a new client, that was a massive win for me. So I had that security of at least that little bit of money for 6 months, and to have that taken away in such a horrible way, I took it really personally, and I took it really hard. But luckily I had all these people around me that were like, don't worry about it. It'll happen to you probably another 50 times.
Yeah, it does. It does. When you look at kind of different Facebook groups and whatever, this sort of thing annoyingly crops up a lot, doesn't it? And it's sort of, I don't know, you might not agree, but it sounds to me like it's good that it happened to you so early on. I mean, it certainly wasn't good at the time. It must have been absolutely horrible. But you said earlier, you've got that experience now. You're not likely to kind of hopefully be in that position again, or if you are, you'll know how to deal with it.
Yeah, and the small claims process is really simple. So for anyone listening who's worried about doing that, it's really, really easy. So do not worry. But the biggest thing I'd say is just think about, you know, how to mitigate risks in advance. So make sure that you've got an amazing contract signed and your terms of business are really clear. If you're not sure that you've got what's needed, either bite the bullet and pay someone to draft them up properly.
Yeah.
Or through a lot of businesses, with your professional indemnity insurance, I'm with Hiscox. I'm not on a commissioner, I think, but I'm with Hiscox, and they have a business hub. They actually provide services with like contract reviewing and things like that. There's a very small fee that comes with that. Like, you know, it's heavily discounted because it's through them. But through your professional indemnity insurance, have a look at what those providers offer, because a lot of them will give you access to lawyers, legal advice, financial advice, things like that. And again, that's all that sort of stuff that you need to prepare in advance so that when bad things do happen, it's really, really easy to fix.
Yeah, actually, the whole subject of insurance doesn't really set any of us on fire, be kind of excited about it. But actually, yeah, if you've got that, you're quite right. I think a lot of insurance policies will have stuff like that, especially if it's insurance for small businesses, freelancers, and you know, that kind of specialist type of insurance. So, overall, how do you feel about working for yourself and kind of the journey you've been on? So there's loads of different parts to kind of what you've been through in the last year. But do you think overall you would, well, not necessarily do it all again. You don't want all the crap that you've had. But overall, are you pleased with where you're at? And would you recommend going freelance and self-employed to our listeners?
Oh, definitely. 100 million percent, because it is the best thing you'll ever do. It really, really is. I think it is about overcoming challenges, and you do need to get yourself in a mindset of understanding there will be hurdles, but that you will overcome them, and the problems will be short-lived. But as soon as you fix one, there probably will be another one. But you just have to have a positive mindset. I mean, I still, even now, struggle with imposter syndrome. And I think that's something that a lot of people, it's like long COVID, it's long imposter syndrome. It's you know, self-doubt, when it creeps in, is something that niggles at you for a while. And even now, when I've got huge clients or massive contracts, I'm like, I sit there and I'll say to my fiance, I'm like, why are they paying me? What's happening? Like, I don't understand. Why are people paying me to do work for them? Because my brain just doesn't understand it. It can't compute. Yes. And that's because of that self-doubt, because I don't have that belief in myself. You know, my partner will say, well, it's because you're amazing at what you do. And I'm like, but am I? I don't think I'm that good. So it's, I think just for people to understand, that's really normal to have those thoughts, worries and feelings. But just try and own them if you can. Don't internalize, you know, talk about it to people, tell people how you're feeling. And, you know, I wouldn't be ashamed for any single one of my clients to hear anything that I've talked about today. And I think that's the thing. You kind of do have to just, like I say, expose yourself. That sounds really naughty, but you just kind of have to show up and show your full self, because if you're anything other than authentically you, it's just not going to work. People are going to see right through it. So I would definitely recommend it. It's a wild ride. It's a roller coaster, but you'll absolutely love it for sure.
Yeah. And you know, saying about being authentic and being you, that is what being self-employed and running your own business is. You are your unique selling point. Without you, there is no business. And I must do a session on imposter syndrome, because it comes up so much. But you, when you're feeling like that, I guess it must be hard to take an objective view and look at the evidence. So the evidence is you've got these clients. The other evidence is, you know, you've got this content out there and you've got these followers, and you know, when you started at a client, they maybe had X number of followers, but now that's increased, whatever. And so you must have all of that portfolio of evidence, but yet you still kind of doubt yourself, which, yeah, it's really tough, isn't it?
It's completely irrational. No thought or logic to it at all. There's 100%, like, you know, pages and docs and, you know, cheats of all the evidence of the work that I've done for clients and the successful work and how great it looks. And my portfolio just grows all the time. But that's the thing with confidence. It just takes time to be rebuilt. And it's, I think, for someone who maybe already was struggling a little bit with confidence, you know, anyone who's got anxiety will kind of know that if anything knocks you, it sort of knocks you doubly hard. But the thing I just keep telling myself in my head, there's two things. Everything that happened in 2020 was beyond my control. And the only things I can worry about are the things that were in my control. And I sort of, I'm having the same mindset coming into this year, but obviously from a very different perspective, in that I'm the business owner now, and that if I continue to allow self-doubt to whir around my head, this business will never grow. And what started out 6 months ago as little old me deciding to go freelance is now going to turn into a miniature empire, you know, and that's so exciting. And I have to have that confidence and belief, because eventually I'll have employees, you know, I'll have people helping me, and I have to instill confidence in them. So if I don't have the confidence, they're not going to have it either. So yeah, just try and do what you can to almost give yourself that pat on the back and say, actually, you've done a good job for sure.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's such a fantastic way to end the interview. We couldn't have planned ending on such a high. It's so brilliant to have such a wonderful success story. And I'm going to keep an eye on you from afar and just be cheering you on. So huge thank you so much for joining us. I will include a link to your website and other social media contacts for people if they want to kind of find out a bit more about you. But massive thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to All About Self-Employment, hosted by Julia Kermode. For more information on today's discussion, please visit iwork.co.uk, where you can also join our growing community. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, then we would love you to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week.